Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Well, I'm very privileged today to be joined by Tom Leonard, who has been a friend of mine for, wow, it's got to be like 10 years now, Tom, probably, which is incredible. Yeah. And throughout that time, you know, we've both kind of reinvented ourselves. And what's fantastic is you're now in the podcasting world. You're the creator and host of the Gamers Change Lives podcast, a show that highlights how esports entrepreneurs around the world can create jobs in their community. You got an MBA from Stanford Graduate School of Business, marketing experience in entertainment, Netflix and Warner Brothers. And I always tell people that you actually created the first 30,000 subscribers for Netflix. And without that, they would not have got the money to grow, right? And so, you know, you're an old hand at this, right? And it's a real privilege to kind of have you on the show again. And yeah, I think that it's an exciting space that you're in, talking to gamers, seeing how these guys and ladies can actually change communities is just incredible. How they can literally just create events. They can create all sorts of money that goes into these rural communities, in particular in Africa, which is fantastic, Tom. So what do you think about all this? How long have you been doing this podcast, and what have you sort of seen around jobs within this?
No, I really appreciate the opportunity here to talk about the podcast and what we've been up to here. One of the things that I learned, I've been doing the podcast now for about just a few months. We had season one, and now we're into season two, which we call Follow the Money. Because one of the things that we learned in season one is that it takes money to create jobs. Our tagline is play games, create jobs, change lives. But you can't create jobs without money. So we're talking to people about investment, about sponsorship, about media rights, streaming, all kinds of ways to get money into your esports business. And what I always tell people on the podcast, I am not the expert. I haven't built all these big esports empires. I'm more of an explorer. I want to hear the stories of other people that have actually done this. A couple of things that have stood out in doing this is just the amazing things that people are doing. I mean, we find people all the day, and it's like every day. And it's just like, wow, that's amazing that they're doing this. You also find that there are so many people out there who are doing it for the right reason. They're doing it for other people. I mean, most people are in there for making a living out of it. But we find so many people that are doing it to improve their community out there. Esports and gaming is kind of unique in a way that it gives them the tools to be able to do things. I mean, there's really no investment involved. If you're going to create a team, if you're going to create a tournament, I mean, there's minimal investment involved there. And there are sponsors that are interested in finding, you know, and talking to that audience. So, for example, we talked to Eniola Idan in Nigeria, and she got a group together, and they were like, let's create a 10-nation tour. And in 10 months, they had thousands of players. They created up to 300 jobs just in that time period that tournament was taking place. The thing that we find with the people that we're talking to from all over the world is they're doers. They're out there. They're not sitting back waiting for permission, waiting for someone to tell them, waiting for a roadmap to fall in their lap. There's so many people out there who are just like, hey, let's go do this. And that's what's really fun, to talk to people that are up to doing that.
Wow. That sounds really quite amazing. So in terms of the sort of jobs that we're talking about here, obviously, you know, what springs to mind is the players from where I'm sitting. But what other sort of jobs have you got that kind of support those players, Tom? You've probably got a massive load.
That's one of the great things, because sitting here in Southern California, in the middle of the movie business, it's like everyone always thinks of the entertainment business as being actors. If you're going to be in the entertainment business, you're going to be an actor. while being an actor is like one little tiny part of the entire production that it takes to create any kind of movie, TV show, even a commercial. It's just like the whole production behind it and the marketing and the business function. That's you know, 99% of the people. Same thing in esports, because what happens here is that you have the streamers, you have the people who are playing, but you have shoutcasters, one of my favorite terms. It's like you have the commentators for the events. And you have all the regular business functions out there. At the event in Nigeria, they had drone operators. It's like anything that can create jobs for drone operators. It's like that's pretty amazing right there. So there's an incredible variety of skills out there that's one of the things we always want to highlight in the podcast, is to put in people's minds that they don't have to be the super player. Cause that's another thing that you find in a lot of people, is that they started out. We talked to Luca Tocconi, who runs Red Bull South Africa, the marketing for Red Bull South Africa in esports. And he was like, he wanted to be a CSGO player, a professional CSGO player, Call of Duty CSGO. And what he was doing was, he realized that was never going to happen. So he's like, okay, how do I still stay in the esports world? And figured out how to make it happen. So there are so many different jobs out there that a lot of people just don't realize.
Right. So they're sort of supporting the actual industry, right? So they're in support of the players, but also there are sort of other jobs, right? Like event organizers and, like you say, drone operators. So these sorts of jobs, whilst they might be just for a particular event, they can actually take those skills and potentially get paid well enough so that you know, they might be able to even go to other events and kind of do things like that. Or how is that kind of working?
Depends on how things are organized. I mean, the ideal would be to have these great full-time jobs that pay a lot of money. But it doesn't always work that way. And what we find is that a lot of people, it's more project-based. So you're doing, like, just like you're describing, at a tournament. But let's say if you work for a team is an ongoing job, you know, in supporting it. Let's say you're doing marketing for an esports team. That's going to be an existing full-time job. If you do want to be a streamer, if you do want to be the player and you have the skills and the ability to do that, it's like that can be a full-time job out there. A lot of times, what I've discovered is that a lot of times here people think of full-time jobs. And in a lot of places in the world, they think of where can I get the money? That's what makes a difference in their lives. And once the other thing that we also see is that once people start to get a little bit of experience, that people want to keep coming back to them. I mean, I know we certainly do. We, you know, when we're hiring people to work on the podcast, we want people that have performed well elsewhere and can demonstrate that they can do social media, for example. So it usually esports allows people to develop skills that are transferable elsewhere, because it's not just playing games.
Right. So it's really, it's whilst it is an industry in its own right, it also, like every industry, needs specific people, business people, like any other industry, right? So it's actually, you know, fairly simple to kind of understand for people listening, hopefully. So what would you sort of say to someone who was wanting to perhaps get into the esports industry?
First, I'd say do a little bit of homework. Figure out what it is that you want to do. Do you want to be in front of the screen or behind the screen? Is kind of the way to think of it. Also, think about what is it that you can bring to the industry? You know, what are your skills and where do those fit in? And if you don't have those skills, where can you go get those skills to help you fit in out there? I think one of the things that we talk to a lot of people about, very few people go to school and get a degree in esports management or esports marketing. That's fairly rare. But what we find is people go to work and then they start working in esports on the side. And then pretty soon they're like, wait a minute, I can work, I can play games and make a living. So a lot, there's kind of a transition there as well. So what I would say to people is do your research, figure out what you have to offer, see what's available out there, and then to jump in. One of the things that we hear a lot is that, you know, when we ask what kind of training is available, this hands-on training by far. It's like if you want to be in esports, go out and look for esports events in your area that you can volunteer at. And go out there and start learning the how things work, and more importantly, making those networking connections that can help you later on. So go out there and it's like, you know, you never say that with a chartered accountant. Go out and do accounting on the weekends to see if you like it. It's like, no, it's like instead, it's like go out and play games on the weekend. Okay, not a hard sell in a lot of cases out there, and just get a feel for the industry. It probably lends itself more to dabbling in the industry than a lot of other things out there. So take advantage of it.
Right. So just, it's like any kind of new direction that your career is going to take. I mean, you need to just literally just start learning about the particular industry, take your time to network with people within that industry, see what skills you need to develop in order to fit within that environment, and then go and find some sort of mentor or learn the skills that you need, right? I mean, it's not really very different to any other kind of industry, except for it's unknown to a lot of people who are kind of, probably above 35.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's changing over time. One of the things that was really interesting that Luke had talked about was he said, we're reaching a time when if you're asking for sponsorship, if you're going to a brand and you're asking for sponsorship, he said, it's more likely that the person you're asking the sponsorship to give you the sponsorship is a gamer. He said, we've reached that inflection point where before, if you were going to go in and ask someone at Red Bull or any other brand, for sponsorship money, it's like you're first, one of the things you have to explain, not at Red Bull, but other places, you have to explain to them what esports is. You have to explain to them what gaming is and how it's different than what their kids are doing at home, that it's a real business. He said, that's changing. He said, now in his experience in South Africa, at least they've reached a point where when you go in there and you're pitching for a sponsorship, you're probably talking to a gamer, no matter if you're talking to a auto brand or an entertainment brand or a retailer, whoever it is that you're talking to, there's a better chance. So that's going to help you out. You're not going to have to, you know, explain what it is that you do. So it's changing. 35 is an interesting age that you bring up. That's probably about where it is. And certainly the people we talk to, I mean, when we talk to people in Africa, Africa's an unbelievably young population there. So there are many more people that are familiar with gaming. The other thing that's the other interesting difference is mobile. So in so many parts of the world, esports means mobile gaming, because in Africa or in Asia, it's, you know, all the gaming is on, you know, on your phone. It's not on a PC or it's not on console. Where in more mature markets, where in like here in the US or maybe Europe and Japan, people think of gaming as, you know, Xbox or PlayStation or PC. And really the vast majority of the world, that is not the case. So that's also something that's going to impact things down the road from all kinds of angles.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think also in terms of the where we are with virtual reality and how that is progressing and how the adoption of that is moving forward and how there are certain, you know, I know you're interviewing someone next week about cafes, right? And kind of venues, not cafes, but venues, right? Of where people can go and play games, right? And I think that there is a space most definitely for a sort of new up and coming kind of space where people can go and have fun with their friends. They have good coffee and, you know, and this kind of thing. And I mean, look, it's just reinvention of retail, right? It's not like it's not rocket science at the end of the day. Yeah. And so then we've got the jobs around the physical venue, haven't we, which would normally be like a temporary venue, because that's kind of an esports tournament that you're really, that's what you're really sort of digging into, right, is the tournament side of things. Yeah.
No, I think you're going down the right road when you're talking about venues. I think that is something that we'll see more of in the future as people start to get more familiar. I guess two things are going to happen. People are going to get more familiar with what an esports venue looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, does it sell alcohol? Does it not sell alcohol? You know, how does that all work? And also there's this huge change, certainly here in the US, of retail space. Stores are disappearing from shopping malls for all kinds of online shopping reasons. And the commercial developers, if you're a commercial developer, you've got this empty space. What can you put in that empty space that will bring people into the complex, that will help everyone that's there? And one of the things that, I mean, that was one of the reasons that movie theaters started showing up next to shopping malls. It brought people there to the location. So when you're talking about esports venues, you can get huge events. We're talking to one guy's doing it in Melbourne, in Australia. And he's like, we sell out. He said, if we have a special event, he said, we sell out weeks in advance. He said, we cannot keep up with the demand. He said, we just have too small of a space for the audience that is out there. So, yeah, I think venues in particular, you're also seeing a lot of in the US, you're seeing, actually probably a little bit more before COVID, but you saw a lot of esports stadiums being built around the country that were geared just to esports, and particularly in the South, in a lot of locations, rather than going out and creating a show in a convention center, it's like they were have been creating esports locations, which are going to be, you know, super popular and getting a large audience there.
Wow. Wow. So what sort of communities are you seeing changing? I mean, is it mainly sort of Africa that has great opportunity, or India, or, I mean, I know you mentioned about Nigeria and, you know, a lot of African countries having like younger populations. So this is kind of fueling this growth. Is that kind of fair to say?
It's probably fair to say that there's opportunity everywhere for different reasons. Because just like you're pointing out, Africa, you know, the younger population there may be more gaming, maybe more esports oriented. The standard of living is not, there's not as much disposable income there as there might be in Southeast Asia. And I don't know what the exact numbers are, but it, so you kind of have that balance between finding people and then finding people who can afford to do, who can participate. And but what you find is that mobile phones are everywhere. It's like, it's hard to believe that there are people, that there are many people in the world that don't have mobile phones, because it's just, even in some of the most off the beaten path places, there are mobile phones. So there's going to be an opportunity pretty much everywhere, even in, you know, places that, you know, in the US, there's going to be opportunities in certain areas that people haven't tapped into. The other thing is that you find with one of the really fun things about working in esports is there's no roadmap. It's not like we're not traditional sports. Where in traditional sports, we have college, we have professionals. Like these are the association. This is the structure that's in place, and it's always been in place. But with esports, it's like, no, leagues come, leagues go. It's like publishers come, games come, and games go. It's like when it comes to American football, for example. I mean, American football is going to be American football. Basketball is going to be basketball. But you have League of Legends is huge right now. In 10 years, will it be huge, or will Valorant take over? You know, so the games may be different. So that entire lack of continuity of history is, I see as a real benefit, because it lets people come in and come up with different things that no one, you know, would have ever thought of doing before. When you have the events, the League of Legends Championship, I mean, the viewership numbers are unbelievable. When you talk to some of the, when you look at some of the tournaments, it's like, I think it's Dota International. I don't know what the prize pool was this year, but it's literally in the, you know, $40, $50 million range.
Wow, that's incredible.
And the way they do that is because it's fan supported. It's like, instead of someone putting the money together, it's like all the fans get together, put the money in, put the money in, and the prize pool is unbelievable. So there's people like coming up with all kinds of new ways to do business that if you were in traditional sports, you're like, oh, we can't do that because we're, you know, there's some governing body that says, and that's probably another good thing, is there's no real, there's a couple of federations out there that are trying to wrangle in esports for different reasons, but no one's really taken hold of the authority out there. And so I think that that's a really good thing, because I think international federations may have a role to play, but they're usually in it for the federation rather than for the sport itself. Is that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I think that there's a lot to unpack in this episode so far. I think that in the future we definitely need to talk more about this, because I can see it evolving into sort of something pretty huge, actually, Tom. And I'm quite excited about the whole thing. I think that it's a completely new thing for a lot of people. It's going to develop over the next 5 years. Even the next 1 year will be vastly different to where it's been with all of these new people getting involved, and these people that can build communities that quickly. I mean, that's just so impressive to be able to just mobilize a base like that, right? Like you know, it's absolutely incredible. So if people want to kind of get hold of you, and they need to look for the Gamers Change Lives podcast, I'm going to drop your website in the show notes. And, great. You know, if anyone wants to kind of learn more about jobs within this space, you know, just check out Tom's podcast, because he's got lots of different people on there, from, you know, gamers through to all sorts of different people, right?
And we are always looking at the plug part. We are always looking for great guests. So if you know of anyone that is knowledgeable in the esports world, has some experience, they don't have to be the from the biggest company out there. But if anyone comes to mind that is a great story, because that's what podcasting, I'm telling you something you don't know. That's the great thing about podcasting. It's storytelling.
Yeah.
And so I'm always looking out for great stories to tell in the esports world. So if anyone has one, let me know.
Fantastic. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Peace. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.